NetCredit is here to say yes, because you're more than a credit score. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network.
This podcast is powered by the pros at Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric. Arkansas owned, Arkansas operated. GoPascal.com.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
I'm always high on the hogs, guys. I'm high. Well, I'm not high right now, but my day is young.
My odometer's way up there. I'm that 2018 that's already got 130,000 miles on it.
The Razorbacks rush across the field to get that boot.
Tommy, Chuck, and Ty, you guys are the gold standards of sports talk radio.
He bleeds to Arkansas.
Ty's got good hair.
All right, so we welcome in Richard. Richard, we'll start with DJ Wagner. Arkansas, I think, had three consecutive Mondays where they got a commitment from a basketball player. I think some were expecting after this weekend DJ's visit that he may be committed on Monday as well. It's Wednesday on May the 15th. Are you kind of surprised that we haven't heard anything publicly about DJ Wagner just yet?
Yeah, I think you said the key word publicly. I think that's a good question. Don't have a good answer for you. I do know that there was reports that he was going to visit Florida after Arkansas, possibly, but I haven't heard anything since then. But I guess, you know, whenever you feel like that, you know, a guy that obviously played for Cal or Kentucky and visits, good chance he's gonna obviously jump on board. But you know, for whatever reason, at least publicly or whatever, it hadn't happened just yet. Obviously,
Richard, I want you, if you could, give us some insight on the idea of a silent commitment. I don't know if that's what's going on with DJ or not. You've done this a long time. Maybe explain to our audience why certain kids do it this way and kind of the behind-the-scenes inner workings of what a silent commitment looks like, not just in basketball, but football and baseball.
Yeah, I mean, it can mean different things to each kid. A lot of times a silent commitment, it happens when a kid, say, wants to have a ceremony or wants to make some sort of an announcement. You know, it could be a day or two after the silent commitment. Say, you know, let's say for our, you know, argument purposes that, you know, he told the coaches Saturday that he was coming or Sunday, you know, and, you know, the kid, you know, not just DJ, but just anybody, but he could already had something in mind about how he wanted to announce, or there might be some reason why, you know, he's holding off. You just don't know, but, that's, that's usually it. They usually have a reason for, you know, an announcement, a ceremony or something. But usually, you know, transfers don't really make a big deal of it since they've already, you know, done it before.
Yeah. So we're asking about DJ Wagner and his visit over the weekend. I know point guard prospect Darius Acuff was up there as well. What are your thoughts on him?
Well, I mean, the number one guy in the country at his position, point guard, five-star. Talked to his coach before his visit was over, and just the relationship that he has with Coach Cal, and he visited Kentucky officially back in the fall. So this is the second official visit to visit Calipari. So you have to feel pretty good about that. And he also visited Michigan, and you know, but that was under Juwan Howard. So you know, as of over the weekend, he didn't have any, I guess, firm plans to visit other schools. But I'm sure that's going to happen. But as far as the visit itself, I tried to make some contact with him and wasn't able to. So. Don't have a really much to say about the visit, other than I'm sure it went well. He posted stuff on his Instagram account, so you know, it's hard to have a bad visit.
Yeah. Did you cover Cal's visit to you're in Northwest Arkansas now, so I guess you weren't there in Little Rock last time, and I'm sure you've watched the video and saw his comments, but leads me to believe that the next selections to round out his roster, even if he gets both Wagner and Acuff, are going to be older guys, just based on portal guys, based on the way he's been talking the last few times he's visited publicly.
Yeah, I think the last few times going to the NCAA tournament and having a large roster of younger guys and you know, being taken out early, you know, I think he's made that decision that he's not going to make that same mistake. He's going to have mostly older guys and put in some, you know, freshmen. You know, and that's the way he is right now. He's got four transfers and three freshmen, and it sounds like that he'll round off with two more transfers. So I think that's something that he realized that you go against older guys, even though the younger guys may be more talented. The older guys are going to be a little bit more physical, a little bit more knowledgeable about the game, and obviously more mature. So you probably just need to go that route, and that's what he's going to do.
Talking recruiting with Richard Davenport on the McLarty Daniel Hotline, Whole Hog Sports, Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Richard, let's switch it up, talk some football. I didn't realize at how many talented football players were at Parkview right now. I knew about Amarian Robinson, but some of the other guys that are starting to get some national attention. What can you tell us about maybe the resurgence of a certain Little Rock school that would definitely help this Arkansas football program?
Well, wherever Brad Boating has gone, he's had talent, and a lot of the reasons for that is just getting guys to come out and play. Parkview is a magnet school that helps, but at the same time, when you're able to convince guys to get out of the hallway and get on the field, that's also a plus. And then when you start winning like they have, that brings other guys wanting to come play for you. So Cameron Settles, running back, a defensive back, yesterday received an offer from Arkansas, the fifth kid, and Tommy, maybe you can help me with this. It's not something you really think about as far as the numbers, but I can remember maybe three guys on a team having offers from Arkansas, but not five. And there's four other guys that have Division I offers on the team too. So there's nine guys, Division I guys. Five of them have Arkansas offers. And I was just thinking about that last night, thinking I can't recall anything like that as far as the number.
The only thing that would be like that would, you'd have to go back to like 91 in basketball at Parkview, when you had Deion Cross and you had Fisher, and that group had six D1 signees off of a basketball team. That, mm-hmm. as far as just percentage of roster or concentration, now the football was question, or the question was about football.
Springdale 5 and 05, Mustang, that Williams. Would be,
that was one that'd come to mind.
Mm-hmm. Because they didn't all go to Arkansas, but I think they're all offered
yes.
by the University of Arkansas, if I remember that right. So, what is it?
Yeah, I think you're right there. As far as Springdale, I kind of forgot about that.
Well, that's still, I mean, that's 20 years, though. So, that, I mean, that's yeah. that's still quite a gap, even, RD.
But think about how good these Bryant teams were under Buck James mm-hmm. and
that's a good point.
The talent they cranked out. And that, I don't think there was ever a year with five.
Yeah. So, that's
no.
a...
No,
that could be something special brewing in Little Rock, and I've said it. I'll say it again. The capital city of your state can't be as lackluster at times as Arkansas high school football has been in the Central Arkansas area. So if there's ever a way that Arkansas high school football improves, it has to start in Little Rock, yeah. and maybe in
the
kind of
the Boulding boys can coach. They know how yeah, to put it together.
Maybe in the surrounding areas. I did see Richard. You just wrote a recent piece about, and help you on his name, Kandre Barker. The BB running back that just got a scholarship offer. I know you had the Marshall Angus Denton baseball player out of there a couple years ago, but I haven't seen many football players necessarily that come out of BB. What can you tell us about this young man that has not only a scholarship offer to Arkansas, but some other high-talented D1 programs too?
Yeah, well, he's a 2025 guy who committed to Penn State last spring, so he's still committed to him, but he told me he's going to be making an official visit to Arkansas the 7th through the 9th in June. When I saw him as a freshman sophomore at BB, I was thinking, this guy's got a chance to be a national prospect, and probably, and still does. He's according to On3 industry ranking, he's a four-star prospect. But from what I gather, he transferred, obviously, to the Woodlands after his sophomore year to play. And I think if he played, it was just a few games because of maybe some transfer rules or something that didn't allow him to be eligible. And then after the Woodlands, he moved to Miami Central, or was going to go to Miami Central, and decided against it and moved back to BB. I think possibly only playing maybe two or three games at the Woodlands really kind of hurt his national stock, because he just obviously didn't play very much. So I tend to think that if he has a good season, as a senior, that his stock will continue to go up. But, I mean, he's a difference maker. A guy can return kicks, play defense, obviously run the ball, just very, very ultra talented. He's somebody that I'm glad that Arkansas looked at a little bit harder when Kobe Smith was hired. He looked at Barker, made the decision to make an offer to him, and did the same thing with Cameron Settles at Little Rock Parkview. And believe me, they're very high on both of these guys. So that part I really liked about Coach Smith coming in, reevaluating, and making decisions whether to offer or not some in-state guys. And I think that's we talked about in the past, and always will be, about the importance of recruiting the in-state athletes, and this is definitely showing that.
Yeah, and it won't be about 3 weeks, early June, Pittman and his staff will start having camps, and I know there'll be a couple of lineman camps and some high school camps, to get some of these other prospects in our state either on the radar or at least on campus to see what's going on.
Excuse me. Yeah, definitely. The camps will start, the 8th. I think the first one is the youth camp, which is always my favorite, like 7 to 9-year-olds. But obviously some future prospects can come out of there. But the main one's obviously the high school camps. The thing is that sometimes you do get some offers out of the camps nowadays, but it seems like the fewer and fewer are coming out, just from the standpoint that the coaches already know just about everybody and are, you know, have already evaluated. But sometimes there is a guy or two that they have questions about. And they want to get them on campus and see them in person, and then sometimes that's the difference. So, and then along with the camps, they're going to have official visits for 4 weekends, starting May 31st, going all the way to June 21st to the 23rd, and then after that, there'll be a month break. Be a dead period where basically all the college coaches, including Arkansas, go on vacation before the start of fall practice.
All right, Richard, great stuff this morning. We'll do it again next Wednesday.
Sounds good. See you guys.
All right, Richard Davenport with us on the McLarty Daniel Hotline. All of our guests join us on the McLarty Daniel Hotline. Go to McLartyDaniel.com. We're brought to you by Riley Farm Dental. At the entrance to Riley Farms, they provide every type of dental care and procedure for you and your entire family. General dentistry, braces, implants, cosmetics, and now same-day crown service available as well. Dr. Sparkman, Davis, and Farmer always give their patients a comfortable experience and a better smile every time you leave Riley Farm Dental. Again, same-day crown service now available. Call 479-226-3500 for an appointment. That's 479-226-3500. Or visit RileyFarmDental.com.
What is wrong with you?
I want to complain.
I'm complaining.
I want to complain about
complaining.
I want to complain.
It really pisses me off today.
To simply listen to people whine and complain.
I'm angry. I'm spitting angry. I'm like a tornado of anger swirling about. My heart rate is dangerously high right now.
I'm complaining because not enough people tickle, hug, or smile.
I'm so mad I could eat ball bearings and crap BBs.
It's time for What's Your Beef Wednesday.
Talk about the camps with RD. Jackson in Knoxville wants to know, Tommy, if there's camps for older kids, like him at 22 years old.
Well, they used to do a, I believe this was under Petrino, they did a fantasy camp where, you know, for guys my age and older.
Did they really?
Yeah, it was fun. And they, you know, and
that's awesome.
Go up there and they'd spend a day, and I think there was probably more eating than there was football, but, you know, anyway, it was fun. And I know some guys that did it and really enjoyed the experience and got to see facilities, but they talked ball and did some things on the field.
That reminds me of that scene in Invincible when they have the open tryouts with Wahlberg and Greg Kinnear as Dick Vermeil, and you see all these guys huffing and puffing and stuff. But that would be an experience that I think that guys even today would pay for. Don't know if that's going to happen again, but I like that idea. By the way, we're talking about high school in this state that have had multiple Arkansas offers. We got Joe in Fayetteville brings up Warren with Greg Childs, Jarius Wright, and Chris Gragg all in that same class from one high school. But that's just not five. If there's a number or if there's a team outside of the Springdale 5 in 20 years, let me know, because I can't think of one that...
Now the Parkview 5?
Yeah, so. Nine. You heard Richard there. 91 offers in different... That's pretty significant for an Arkansas high school football team. And again, especially a Little Rock one that needs it. With Arkansas high school football not being what it is, gets other SEC opponents in states. All right, it is a What's Your Beef Wednesday. I'll start this morning. I know we talked about only having Kentucky once. I am not a fan, and I know they do this from a marketing standpoint. I'm not a fan when they release just the opponents. Like, release the whole thing. The NFL Tonight is releasing the whole schedule, dates, when it is, and everything. It irritates me, and I get the premise behind it, but I'm also frustrated. It's like, okay, you've given us... I know the Kentucky game in Lexington is going to be awesome. I can't wait. If it's a weekend, I'm going to go. But you don't give us... You don't tell us when. And you split it up.
I will.
But that's frustrating. Do what the NFL does. Roll it out. Give us a couple nuggets like we've gotten. There's a couple NFL games that are already out. 3 or 4 of them that have been publicly released. Give us a couple nuggets prior days. But they just released the whole thing. That's a beef of mine. They just they do in these parts and segments and stuff. Just roll it all out. I'm impatient. Roll it all out.
Stuff that's going to be 10 months from now.
Well, the NFL is what? Where are we in May? It's not till September. What is that, 4 or 5?
Well, I know it's May, and you got your basketball opponents for next January and February, March. I mean, I don't think if you don't find out for another month or two the date, some of this is TV. They got to figure out how to massage it. and balance out the TV side of it.
Do you think they know when it's going to be, or do they have a good base?
It's penciled in. Yeah.
Okay, but it's not marked. I get frustrated when they do this. I wish they would
and
just
guess
do
what?
It.
When they do, you'll talk about it again. That's also part of their desire.
I get the premise behind it, but I would rather, personally, I would rather them wait till like September, October, and just release the whole thing than just do this now in May. That's my thing. I want it all. It's kind of like with television.
You want everything now. You're in the microwave generation.
Well, it's television shows. Think about this. I don't like watching television shows on a week by week basis because it's hard to. I would rather just binge watch something. So I like when they release an entire season rather than week by week by week.
You don't have any anticipation
by week. Well,
some of the greatest things like about a vacation. The best thing about a vacation is the anticipation of the trip. The anticipation of playing Kentucky on the road should be the high, not, I mean, the date. What does that matter? That's just for your convenience. What does it matter what day it is?
Because
game's the game.
Yes. But again, as neurotic as I am, I like to plan things. And I like to plan things far out in advance.
They'll
and I like
it
them
to
on
you
my
far
calendar.
Enough out in advance.
And
well, you're worried it'll interrupt a wedding?
It's an irritation. Yes, of course.
A gender reveal or something?
I've already got
something?
Four next year that are on my calendar. So I need to get out in front of this and make sure that the Kentucky
any
game
of them
does
yours?
Not fall on. No,
any
of course
of these
not.
Weddings yours?
Of course not. I need to make sure it doesn't fall on one of these weddings this next year.
Oh, well.
So that is
that's the most important thing.
That is an irritating part. Another irritating part is it 29.
So you're the most important thing, not the.
Well, in this case,
yeah. Okay.
In this case, and the other another irritating beef of mine is at 29 years old, I still have acne for whatever reason. I've got a pimple under my nose.
You don't have acne.
I mean, I have pimples from time to time. Big C, do you still get acne? You're 1 year younger than me.
I mean, I get occasional pimples every now and then.
Clogged
still.
Pore.
But
under,
I don't think I have acne.
You ever get them in or under your nose, around
you don't
your
have
ear?
Acne is when it's
bad,
persistent all
okay.
over your.
I have a pimple that's right inside of my nose.
Oh, those hurt.
Those are not.
That's
getting,
probably an ingrown hair.
That or my ear. That in the ear.
Those
are
worst. Ingrown hair.
Are they? Yeah. Well, whatever it is, I had to pop it yesterday, and that's not fun. That or
no,
the ear are the worst
to your
places. Yeah, I mean it's painful. It is painful.
The crease of your nose is the bad one.
Oh yeah.
It's bad. It's hard to get, too.
See, someday you'll get married and you'll have a wife that wants to squeeze them for you.
Does she squeeze your...
That's pretty common.
That is...
Yeah. That's pretty common, actually.
You found someone if they're willing to do that for you.
Yeah.
So those are two of my beefs this morning. I've got a few more. What are a few
I'm still irritated with fans that are... You know, you're watching a baseball game and you're looking on social media and these morons that still want to fire coaches. Yeah, I saw it. Just Arkansas. Did I check? Did I just read wrong? Didn't Arkansas win 2 of 3 against Mississippi State? I believe I read the finals correctly. But we still got, and I know it's a vocal minority in our fan base. But this is a team that's won over 40 games. That's got to win one game out of three this weekend to clinch the West, and we've got. People that are still screaming to get rid of Nate Thompson, screaming at Matt Hobbs after, I understand, lackluster starting pitching performances, but you're a top five, consensus top five team in the country, and you're going to win the toughest division in all of college baseball, presumably, with one win this weekend at A&M. I wonder and question sometimes the level of knowledge and understanding of some of our baseball fan base.
Say what you just said about the division again one more time.
You got to win one out of three.
To win what?
The division.
The toughest division.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. I didn't know what part you were trying to hook out of there. But, the toughest baseball division in the country, in the toughest conference, obviously, in the country.
I still believe Tigard or Molina, at some point, they're going to have a good start. I mean, I know we're running out of time.
Yeah, I mean,
once they have that good start, it's probably going to, continue. That's what I'm hoping anyway. Yeah. You got to give them the chance. Another chance.
Well, I mean, you're getting to the point where making significant change, I mean, you're on the doorstep of there's. It's really, you've kind of locked out all changes. You're on the final weekend of the regular season.
My opinion
is... Unless you're forced to make a change.
And I hope that doesn't come to that, but I saw Nick Saban sub out a starting quarterback in the second half of the national championship. You're never too late to make a change, ever. And if Molina and Tiger continue to fail and not get out of second innings, then I think you have to make a change.
Failing's a strong word.
I mean, they didn't make it out of two innings, both of them last week, and they haven't.
But you can't hold up their whole season based on
not one, but it's a combination the last few weekends. That's what I'll say.
I'll agree. The trend is headed in the wrong direction,
and I hope that Brady and Mason have good weekends in College Station. We'll see if they're starting pitchers. Dave announces that later on today. We'll talk more about it coming up.
Call or text the McLarty Daniel hotline at 877-377-6963. McLarty Daniel, a vehicle for every lifestyle.
When you're looking for a new car, you want to shop for a vehicle you love with an organization you trust. You've probably heard that McLarty Daniel means making deals, but what I'm inspired by the most is that McLarty Daniel means making a difference in our community. When you buy a vehicle with McLarty Daniel, you reinvest right here in the community, in our schools, in our little leagues, in our food banks, and our people. So you're not just making a purchase, you're making a difference too. Come see us at any of our six locations in Northwest Arkansas.
BetOnline is your number one source for all summer sports, from Major League Baseball, golf, to the NBA and NHL playoff stats. They've got all the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
We've gotten a few NFL nuggets before tonight's schedule release at 7 o'clock. I believe it's on the NFL Network and ESPN2. Chiefs hosting the Ravens. First game of the season in Arrowhead. Derrick Henry, newly retooled offense in Baltimore, the AFC Championship game last year. Should be a great opener. You've also got the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers playing in Week 7 on Fox. Chiefs get the Bengals, I think, in Arrowhead Week 2. Rodgers and the Jets taking on San Francisco in San Fran. Monday Night Football to get the season started. Buffalo's at Miami in Week 2 on Thursday Night Football. And then Dallas at Cleveland for Tom Brady's first broadcast for Fox. So a few 4 or 5 teams that have already been told at least their first schedule. And then later on tonight, no team has ever gone back to back to back and won the Super Bowl. Has there been teams like the Buffalo Bills, the New England Patriots, and I think the Miami Dolphins that have been, but they haven't won 3 straight Super Bowls? Can Kansas City do it this year? Now, I know we're more than 100 days out. I know that there's stuff going on with Rashee Rice. We'll see what comes out of that and the possibility there. They did add Xavier Worthy with one of those draft picks this season. But I'm not ruling out Patrick Mahomes after what that team did. I mean, they weren't even good in the regular season, Tommy. Not good. Is there any player outside of maybe Tom Brady in the last couple decades that you would pick over him? I mean, the only guy he lost to basically in the playoffs is the greatest quarterback of all time, and Joe Burrow, Heisman Trophy winner, and before it's all said and done, I think going to be one of the better quarterbacks of this generation. Not Mahomes level, but that. So,
I mean, the quarterback's the most important piece, I understand. He's the pilot, but, you know, there's a lot more to winning a third Super Bowl in a row. That's why it hadn't been done than just who the quarterback's going to be.
Brady got close, wasn't able to do so, but I'd be hard pressed a lot can happen between now and then. But when I see that schedule and I see what that roster looks like, I'm going to be hard pressed not to pick the Chiefs this year.
If they get to another Super Bowl, I'm betting on them. Now, getting there is hard, obviously, but in the playoffs, it's hard to pick against the Chiefs.
I just don't think there's a quarterback in the NFC. I remember talking about this before the playoffs last year. There wasn't a quarterback in the NFC that was better than like the top 3 or 4 in the AFC. And I just don't know. I don't know.
Smart money would not be on the Chiefs, right?
No, and we were talking about that parlay. What would the parlay odds be if you pick KC and went back-to-back-to-back Super Bowls and they ended up coming to fruition?
I mean, $100 bet.
I mean, $100 bet, I don't even know what that would pay out if you could actually do that. do that. But I'm looking forward
to... They might take your money right now.
Yeah, and do it real
Maybe
quick.
Maybe not the odds you'd want, but...
I'm looking forward to tonight. This is, and again, I'm a lackluster Green Bay Packer fan, but this is, I love the NFL season. Fantasy season, everything involved with the National Football League. And it's unfortunate we won't get a chance to see Dre Greenlaw this year because he's coming off his Achilles injury. Curious how the San Francisco 49ers are without his presence. There's a lot of storylines heading into tonight after the NFL draft and what happened there. So I'm excited for tonight.
All right, that's your Morning Rush Daily Question. It's brought to you by Red River Dodge in Heber Springs, Arkansas's number one Ram dealer. Log on at redriverdodge.com.
All right, before we talk to Hunter, we're going to talk to Jimmy Conway real quick. Jimmy, what are your thoughts this morning here on a What's Your Beef Wednesday?
Top of the morning to you, fellas. Okay, here's my beef, and I hope that you will pass this along to Mr. Yurecek and ask him this question, please. Will he at least think about putting the Slobbering Hog back on the basketball floor? Over the majority of the fans would want that. I guarantee it. But what they've got out there now is very dull and boring. That Slobbering Hog was our greatest success years. Please think about bringing it back. Just plead to him. Just see if you can get any comment on it. Thank you.
You got it, Jimmy. Is that the what's preventing
Arkansas? Is that the most driving issue in Razorback athletics? Is which hog logo is at midcourt?
Cal doesn't win a championship in the next 5 years. It's because the Slobbering Hog was not back on the court. Yeah. I think a lot of Arkansas fans will have that. Listen, Jimmy, I'm with you, man. I think it needs to be back on the court. I'm 100% with you. So let's go to the man of the hour. So we welcome in Hunter Yurecek on the McCarty Daniel Hotline. Now, Hunter, it is a What's Your Beef Wednesday, so I want you to stow away a beef. You're going to have to take your athletics director hat off later on in the program and just tell us man-to-man what you're beefing with these last couple days. I know you've had a good week thus far, but we just got...
Sleeping on a bus, maybe.
Yeah, well, I bet he's flying. We'll see. But Hunter, Jimmy was just asking about basketball. I know you've gotten flooded with Cal questions these last 3 or 4 weeks, but he wants to know the most pressing issue for him is when the Slobbering Hog is going back on the court.
And will the Slobbering Hog be drinking a Coke or a Pepsi? So
very interesting. Slobbering Hog is actually on the court 2 times now, adjacent to Coach Nolan Richardson's safety chair. Yes. I think most people overlook that. I don't know that it's going to go back at midcourt anytime soon, but it's on there twice.
Yeah, well, glad we could get the most pressing issue in your department out of the way.
Out of the way, for sure.
Well, Hunter, again, you've been all over the state thus far. Heber Springs, Jonesboro, Forest City. You guys were in Little Rock last night. Next 4 stops will be Pine Bluff, El Dorado, Texarkana, and then Fort Smith tomorrow. Give our audience, because we got a lot of people listening in those areas, give our audience a sense of what you guys are going to be discussing in these next 4 stops here in the next 48 hours.
Well, it's a chance for us to get around the state and touch and feel our fans that maybe we don't get to see as often. Maybe they don't have a chance to get up to Fayetteville. And I give them kind of an update on what's going on in the athletic program. Our coaches that join us give us an update on their programs. We have a little Q&A session so they can ask questions of the pressing issues that are on their minds that they want answers to. And it's really just an opportunity just to meet our fans where they're at with myself, our coaches, our band, our spirit squad, our mascots, and just to say thank you for all the support we get across the state.
Hunter Yurecek, Arkansas Athletic Director, with us on the McClarty Daniel Hotline. What's the last 30 days been like since John Calipari's hiring? The sense of energy within your building? Just take us inside those walls and how it's maybe changed maybe the pace of play, if you will, inside the athletic department.
Well, I'll tell you, first and foremost, I saw Coach Cal last night, and that's one of the few times I've seen him since his press conference, because he's been flying. I mean, he's been out first and foremost trying to put a team together. He's been putting his staff together. He's been worried about putting the schedule together for the 24-25 season. And so I think he's got a little bit of pep in his step and has been hitting it hard. And then obviously I think as we see across our state as we travel this week, that Arkansas, Arkansans have their chest poked out a little bit, their head held high, and really a sense of pride that a Hall of Fame coach like John Calipari would come to the state of Arkansas and coach our men's basketball program.
As as the athletics director, how do you get that sense of energy and excitement that has built up around basketball since his arrival? How do you have that spill over to the other sports, in particular football? Because I would assume you want a rising tide to lift all the boats.
Yeah, absolutely, and it is. I mean, you look at just what's happening in our spring sports right now. Our men's track team is ranked number one. Our women's track team is ranked number two. Our baseball team is ranked number three. Our women's golf team is ranked six. Our men's golf team is ranked eighth. Our softball team is ranked 12th. And that the excitement around those sports, I think, is the basketball spotlight is on them, as well as helped kind of lift the spotlight on those sports. And then as you look at the football season, the addition of Coach Petrino on the offensive side of the ball, and has been a great compliment to Coach Pittman in that meeting room when he lost in Barry Odom for 1 year. He now has back, where he's got a veteran coach that has been a head coach both in college and the professional level that he can bounce things off of. I mean, we've got a much better offensive line than we had the year before last. The quarterback, Coach Pittman and Coach Pittman, really high on him, and fits the system that Coach wants to run. I think there's a lot of excitement about our football program. What a great home schedule we have with LSU, Tennessee, Texas, and Ole Miss coming to Fayetteville this year. And so I think you'll see that excitement for football ramp up when we get to the media days in July and then fall camp in August.
We're talking with Hunter Yurchek, Arkansas Athletics Director, here on the Morning Rush via the McCarty Daniel Hotline. Hunter, you had some comments recently on The Athletic talking about scheduling. And I know next season it will still be eight games in the SEC. We'll see what happens starting in 2026. You've got several games out: Utah, Oklahoma State, Memphis, Notre Dame, some of the non-conference games in the coming years. How do you balance what potentially could be a nine-game SEC schedule, but at the same time scheduling marquee non-conference games that fans want to attend with your head coach that doesn't want a fire me schedule per se?
Sure. I mean, right now we have the eight SEC games, and then we have a requirement within the SEC that you have to play another Power 4, Power 5 team. We've got that set up for the foreseeable future. You mentioned we've got Oklahoma State, a home-and-home with them that begins this year, and then next year we have a home-and-home with Notre Dame that begins, and then the following year we have a home-and-home with Utah. Then the following year, I believe we have a home-and-home with Texas Tech that begins. And so we've got our schedule set up really, really well, and I think some really good games for our program. Now, if we go to a ninth SEC game, Coach Pittman and I will sit down and evaluate what that schedule looks like moving forward, because we do have to have a schedule that allows our team to have an opportunity for success.
Now, Hunter, you're a guy that attends practices frequently, not just in football, but basketball and baseball occasionally. You kind of spoke to a few things that you maybe seen an improvement: the offensive line and new OOC. Maybe if you could detail in specifics what you would say the biggest difference is from last year's team to maybe what you've seen in spring and should expect this fall.
Yeah, well, I will tell you the biggest difference. Obviously, there's a difference in talent. You can see that. But what I'll tell you is just the thing that sticks out is the leadership that we have on both sides of the ball. I felt like we didn't have leadership last year, that when times got tough, that someone was going to get in your face, not a coach, but a player, because I think you have to have player-led leadership on your team. And we didn't have that during the 2023 season. I think you can already see that on both sides of the ball. Players that have the respect of the locker room and are able to make sure that no one is taking a day off, a snap off, whatever, and the coaches are not having to enforce that. That is the players on the field that are enforcing that, and that is the biggest difference. And then there's just a sense of camaraderie around this team that we didn't have last year. NIL has changed the way things are in the locker room, and it's a delicate balance for coaches to navigate that. And I think Coach Pittman and his staff and who they recruited this year and how NIL has been used in our locker room this year has changed the dynamics in our locker room to a positive.
Hunter Yurchek just called us on the McClarty Daniel Hotline. He's on the road with the One Razorback Road Show this week. We'll get back to that in a second, because I know you got several other stops here in these last couple of days, and we want to highlight those. But obviously, with the hiring of John Calipari, we've seen some household names within our state that have gotten involved financially at a different level than they presumed to have been with the university. Has that been another rising tide, like I mentioned a moment ago, that's brought other people into the conversation? We know NIL's at the forefront of everything these days and how you run your department. Has that excitement brought other people to the table for football and just in general to the athletics department?
Yeah, sure. We have a great top-end donor base at the University of Arkansas, people that have been incredibly generous, families that have been incredibly generous to us. But if we're going to be successful year after year in the name, image, and likeness programs and compete in the SEC, we need a very much a grassroots effort. We need people across the state, regardless of their means, whether they can give $25 a month, $50 a month, $100 a month. If we can get 10,000 people to be a member of our Arkansas Edge NIL Collective and give something consistent every month that we can plan for, that's how we're going to be successful. That's how other schools have been successful in this NIL game. We just can't, from person to person, look and say somebody else is going to take care of that for us, because we still have some facility needs, the renovation to Bud Walton Arena. We have to have an addition to our soccer stadium and our softball stadium so we can continue to compete in those sports. And we have donors that will help us with that, but they can't help us with that and also help us with NIL. So it's we have this one Razorback theme, only need everyone, O-N-E. And that means we only need everyone across the state if they can contribute something to name, image, and likeness. We need them to go to the Arkansas Edge website and do so, and that's how we're going to be successful.
What's it look like to be successful in the SEC? I think that's where fans have a hard time wrapping their mind around it, is how much does it take to be competitive anymore in the NIL world?
Guys, I'm going to tell you that it's a 7 to 8 figure number without putting a specific figure on it. That is what is being spent in NIL across your football, basketball, baseball, women's basketball programs right now in the SEC.
Hunter Yurchek with us, talking all things Arkansas athletics. Hunter, speaking of money, television revenue sharing sounds like it's coming down the pipe. I know one of your cohorts at Texas A&M is already prepared for that. I know you guys at the athletics department are probably preparing for that eventually to happen. What are some of the things that maybe you're doing right now to prepare for that process whenever it comes down the pipe?
I mean, we're just looking at all of our revenue streams, all our expense line items, and seeing where we can increase on the revenue side and maybe decrease on the expense side. You know, where are we spending, where we don't need to be spending? Are we investing our money in the right places and the right resources, both from a personnel standpoint and just other things that we're investing in? And then are there ways we can increase revenue outside of sponsorships, outside of TV, and outside of tickets that can help us? Because we're very proud of that we have 19 sports programs, and we have 19 sports programs that are really, really successful right now. And we don't want that to change in the future. We want to make sure that all 19 of our sports programs, 465 student-athletes, all have an opportunity for success moving forward. And so I think, just like my colleagues around the country, we're just evaluating where we're spending our money and the resources that we're able to generate.
One of those successful programs is Arkansas softball, 4 straight regional for Courtney Dyfel and company. Are you going to be at Bogle Park this weekend?
I will be at Bogle Park this weekend, absolutely. And I'm hoping to make it out to California for the Women's Golf National Championships as well. So I've got a busy weekend ahead, but I love watching our student-athletes compete and have success.
Now, you had some of that strawberry shortcake there at the Bulldog. I've had that myself. It is pretty good. What are some of the other stops you've enjoyed along the bus tour so far?
Oh gosh, it's definitely an eating tour for sure. there's no doubt about it. I'm a big Zach Bryan fan, and when we got done last night, I walked over to Simmons Bank Arena and enjoyed an hour or two of the Zach Bryan concert, which was really, really cool for sure. But there's so many great places around our state to stop and eat. The Legacy over in Forest City, we had a great lunch over there. Had a great lunch at the Red Apple Inn up in Heber Springs. Yeah. It's just amazing that people roll out the red carpet. You get fed very well on this Razorback Roadshow, for sure. That's why I'm getting ready to go jump on my Peloton bike before we head out this morning.
Well, you're going across southern Arkansas today, then you're making the trek from Texarkana to Fort Smith. I'm trying to think of a good spot, or around Mena or DeQueen or somewhere in there, y'all could make a good road stop. I guess you could stop in Mena somewhere at Myers or somewhere like that.
Yeah, if any of your listeners have some good ice cream spots between, you know, in any of these places we're going, that's what the Abandoned Spirit Squad, they like their afternoon ice cream, as do I. And so that's where we try to find a really nice local ice cream shop that we can get some ice cream, just like we did in Baldhead. It wasn't ice cream specifically, but the Strawberry Shortcake was amazing.
Yeah, it is. Myers Drive-In in Mena would probably be
a good spot,
a good halfway point for you guys. All right, you're at Uncorked in Fort Smith tomorrow night. Who will be with you there as you wrap up the road show?
I think Coach Neighbors will be our headliner, kind of coming in back down to his homeland. And I think we have one other coach, but I cannot tell you who that is right now.
Should be Colby Hale, if I remember that right.
Colby Hale, there you go. Thank you.
Yep.
Sorry, Coach Hale.
No worries. Hunter, last thing again, it's a What's Your Beef Wednesday. And again, we've talked a lot of positives at this point. I need you to just be an average Joe for a sec. I know there's something that's ticked you off lately. So what has maybe irritated you in the last week or so? Just an average thing. Like, for me, it's the fact that the SEC hasn't released the scheduling for the upcoming basketball season. I've got a pimple in my nose that I had to pop the other day.
I'm sure he's glad to know that.
Yeah. What is something just kind of common that has maybe irked you in the last 48 hours or so?
Well, I don't know if it's I don't know that it's common, but it's hurt me for about the last, I feel like, 48 months. It's just that we have failed as a college athletics industry in telling the story of all the good things that we do for student athletes. I mean, we're being held to task to revenue share with our student athletes. And I would challenge the court system that we have been sharing revenue with our student athletes since college athletics started. I mean, we offer student athletes, you know, if you get a full scholarship at the University of Arkansas, that's a $75,000 value. That includes your tuition, your room and board and housing. We spend about $3.5 million in our student athlete dining facility. You get to travel all over the country. You get great equipment. You get health care. You get mental health care. And the fact that courts and plaintiff's attorneys feel like we're not sharing revenue with student athletes, it's our fault as an industry that we've done a very poor job of telling our story and our narrative of the incredibly good things that we provide to young men and women in this industry.
I'm with you, because I've always felt the same way, that the idea that the scholarship or the full cost of attendance or everything else you just listed is meaningless, and the only thing that matters is NIL, is such a, to me, an uneducated view, because when someone says that, that's someone that didn't pay their own student loans back.
Yeah, absolutely.
And work their way through college like many of us did.
All right, Hunter, we'll leave it there, man. We appreciate it. Again, you've been busy, so we appreciate you joining us this morning. We're excited to hear from Sam Pittman tomorrow, and not just talk about what's going on with the roadshow, but all things football. And 106 days out, man. I know you're ready for Thursday night in Little Rock.
All right, guys. Thank you very much. Go Hogs.
All right, Hunter Yurecek with us on the McLarty Daniel Hotline, calling in from the One Razorback Roadshow, and that'll be rolling across South Arkansas. El Dorado, then over to Texarkana tomorrow for lunch, and then up to Fort Smith to wrap it up.
I was going to say that Mena area, where he was talking about, is more your neck of the woods.
Well, you're driving 71, so I'm trying to think of what's halfway, and, you know, Mena would be about a good halfway mm-hmm. stopping spot. I'm just thinking of it, you know.
I drew a blank. I'm glad you said
Myers
something.
Would be a good local spot there. You got a Sonic. Now, I tell you, if you want ice cream, there's the convenience store there has a Haagen-Dazs. That'd probably be, Baskin-Robbins, rather. That'd be the one, the big gas station there.
The big one to go to. Well, appreciate it. We'll talk about some of the stuff Hunter said in your hog update and some stuff Cal said last night, too.
Hey, sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at gopascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
All
I'm still going to recruit young players because I like changing families. I'm hoping that some kids have to do 2 years because I like changing families. But when you start talking more than 9, 10, 11, 12, I'm coaching everybody. I don't just coach the guys that are starting. I'm coaching them all. Basically, I'm preparing them and putting my soul in everything for another guy to coach them. They're going to leave and go somewhere else. Well, how about if I just focus on my 8 or 9 and let me do that? We'll still recruit freshmen, but we just won't have like last year where we had 7 freshmen. Can't do that anymore.
You got 3 on the roster right now. It's probably going to stay that way. Don't know how many they're going to have next season. I'm still a little weary of just going like 8 or 9, like surefire scholarship players. There's going to be other guys on scholarship, but maybe guys that not play as much. Just because we've seen last 3 or 4 years, injuries have hurt this basketball team. And it's not just an Eric Musselman thing. That happens in college basketball. So this is the formula. We'll see how it plays out in year one and if he stays with it or not. But sounds like he's sticking to it and since his podcast last week and kind of reiterated that.
Well, get the best 8 or 9 you can get, and I think you've got to work in a player or two that, you know, the hard part is now these kids come out as 5 stars, and that's what he's recruiting. They expect to play right away, but they're probably not in your top 8 as far as talent and ability because of where they're at physically. But they also, at the same time, want to be in the NBA in a year. So I get his frustration. I'm going to put all my effort and my time for someone else to coach him in 12 months. He doesn't want to be a farm league either.
What about the possibility of Memphis on your schedule this season? You've got some marquee conference games. Go San Diego. Cal said he's getting called from ESPN and CBS about some other matchups. He also touched on the Tigers, too.
You know, when I asked to see my team before I did the press conference, there was no team, okay? So after I got 5 guys, so I felt comfortable that I could start doing other things, I said, let me see the schedule. There was no schedule. So now I'm starting from scratch. You know, got to get the national stuff done first. We've been called by CBS, ESPN, different events. They want us in, but I got to get through that. As we get through that, and then you'll look, do we want to do any home and homes? But we'll see. You know, I have fond memories of Memphis and my time there, so we'll see how it all plays out.
So if I throw out Memphis, Gonzaga, I don't know if... is it surefire that you're going to go to Cameron Indoor now? That Cal's at Arkansas?
I don't know.
I mean, is it pretty... I think it's pretty set in stone. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but the ACC-SEC Challenge, I think you're going to want
to... I mean, it wouldn't be outlandish to think that. That's
yeah,
for sure.
I mean, I don't think they're going to send Arkansas to Miami. North Carolina played a home game last year, so they're not going to play.
North Carolina did. That was my other question.
Not going to play a home game again this year. Virginia's down. So I just think the Duke game's going to happen. So you'll probably have Duke on your schedule. Got the San Diego games, maybe Memphis. Do you want to play these games at home first or the second leg? Like you would advocate. I know, and you're right. There's more talent, as much as talent as there is in Arkansas high school basketball. There's more talent in Memphis. I mean, it is insane how much high school basketball talent is in that city of Memphis and surrounding areas. Maybe you do go there first.
You still got to also recognize there's a formula for getting to the NCAA tournament and getting the seed to maximize your seeding potential. So you want to have the right balance in your non-conference schedule. You know how tough your conference schedule is going to be. You've seen that, even though you're hacked off, you don't have dates and times yet. You know who you're playing. So there's got to be a balance, because what was one of the conversations we were having in December and January? Well, they didn't win enough games to maybe make the tournament. You've got to have enough ways to build in wins to be a tournament team. He's still putting this program together and still got to get all these guys to play together. There is no continuity from an Arkansas standpoint. We talked about that last week, and continuity from a Kentucky standpoint, but you know, continuity has been lost in today's game as well at a high level. You better find you some wins early as well to just make sure your resume and your win totals where it needs to be, because I remember us pounding that conversation in December and January. You don't have enough wins to make the tournament. Turned out we were right.
Yeah, Arkansas. We'll see how the schedule shakes out. Sounds like Cal's going to incorporate some good non-conference games, but like you're saying, not too many. You don't want to go a bridge too far. Last thing in your Hog update, the men's golf team moved up a little bit in the Austin Regional top five advance. Right now, they're four strokes back of the number five team in Utah. I think there's 14 teams in the field right now, and they're sitting at number eight after shooting 283 as a team yesterday. I played Jimmy Austin and Norman, and I played, Alabama's golf course in Tuscaloosa. Some of these, like golf course, golly, my voice is dead. Some of these golf courses for the different colleges are, like, really nice, like the Blessings for Arkansas. We know how nice that is.
And Carson it's, Creek for Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma State's
fabulous.
Another one. Others are just kind of okay. I'd be curious. I'm going to go to Austin some point next year. I'd be curious to see what that course is like. I guess it's probably pretty good.
Well, I don't imagine it's a goat ring. I don't imagine there's dandelions in the fairway. So, yeah, I would imagine it's pretty good. And, the Blessings, did they came out and looked. They had the national championship there a while back. They've had the SEC. But one of the things they said was, man, this course is too hard. You know, so that's the one thing with the Blessings is it will challenge you, particularly from the tips.
We're playing tomorrow, and I'm going to be in Memphis tomorrow during the show, and we're playing at this one of these courses. And I talked to my buddy who was a college golfer. It's like, hey, so be honest with me, how's this course? He's like, it's really challenging to me, man. You're going to have a tough time. It's like, that means I'm going to shoot 120 tomorrow. Yippee-ki-yay. All right, that is your hog.
You need to learn the art of picking it up.
I don't do that. I want to set my handicap. All right, that's your hog update this morning. It's brought to you by our friends at Mr. Sparky.
You don't have to put up with any malarkey. Call 888-8-SPARKY.
I got my email from the SGA? Not SGA. Whatever the Arkansas Golf Association is.
ASGA.
ASGA. My handicap right now is a 24. I would like to get it in the under 20s by the end of this calendar year. I don't know if that's
we need to get you to playing in a under 20 category, but keep your handicap at 24 so we can get some strokes.
No, I don't want to sandbag people. That's not really who I am. We do have the PGA Championship this weekend. I know Clay's...
You might want to consider it.
Well, we do have that to look forward to this weekend. So Scottie Scheffler just had his kid. Now he's back at it, trying to win another major. Number one golfer in the world. I listened to Tiger talk about kind of comparisons with him and Rory, which apparently Rory just got a divorce or is about to get a divorce, one or the other. Filed for divorce. So that's happening in his personal life. Curious how that affects his golf game. But
how could it not?
Well, some people will tell you their golf game gets better when they are single. I don't know how it's going to affect him this weekend. But I know Clay's excited to talk about this. It's in, I guess, Louisville's got like two out of 3 weekends. It's going to be packed there. You had the Kentucky Derby there 2 weeks ago, and then you got this. I guess Airbnb and hotels probably making some money these last 3 weeks.
It's on the other side. It's on the east side of Louisville. But, yeah, I mean, this is a big event. Valhalla's hosted championship events before, and, yeah, I don't think it'll bring in the kind of crowds the Kentucky Derby does, but it's certainly a spotlight on your state once again.
Listen to Tiger Woods talk about still his ability to win a major, which he still thinks he can. I'm at a point with him that I just want to see him make the cut. The only golf I watch all year, the four majors, I guess some people include the players as a fifth, and then a little bit of the waste management. That's it. And the only thing, really the only draw to me is where Tiger Woods is still to this day. And I know that you always talk about with your mom, who's as casual a golf fan as it gets, that's the question she always asks you, or where's Tiger Woods?
Well, if he's in contention, people will come to the TV. And you hope he's in, not just make the cut. He's got to be in contention to really draw people to the event.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift. Selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
Possible.
Have you tried Benville Brewing's new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale? It's handcrafted in Arkansas. You'll taste the great tropical citrus, including the passion fruit, the guava, and pineapple. It's creamy, zingy, and zows the taste buds. It's weird, wonderful, and wacky all at the same time. Try the new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale from Benville Brewing.
We always have plenty of things to discuss with our friend Clay Henry, the Hall of Famer. And Arkansas and Texas, back together in Bud Walton Arena. First time I think since 2009 that you'll get a chance to play them at home in Fayetteville, Arkansas. So 15-plus years the next time they come in. You also go to Austin, Texas and the Moody Center. I know that's a game that all of you want to win, not just once, but twice this upcoming season. We got that. We got what Cal had to say yesterday. We got some football stuff. And we can talk about Clay's latest column on hitthatline.com, all of which is coming up in just a sec.
Hey, get by TGI Fridays in Fort Smith for their weekday deals. If you missed it yesterday, it was $10 cheeseburger and fries and your drink included. Today, you can get Cajun shrimp and chicken pasta. It's just $12 for a big, huge bowl of pasta for your lunch or dinner. And then tomorrow, $12 Friday's Big Ribs. They got a half a rack of ribs and fries for you on Thursdays for $12. It's weekday deals Monday through Thursday. TGI Fridays, 540 at Rogers Avenue. Don't forget happy hour twice daily from 3 to 6 and 9 to close with $5 appetizers and half-price drinks. There's something always going on. TGI Fridays, 540 at Rogers Avenue in Fort Smith.
I have just one question for you. Are you ready?
I'm ready for this my whole life.
Here he is. The Clay Henry.
Clay got the SEC opponents in basketball yesterday. You do play Kentucky in Rupp Arena. I heard Cal talk about it yesterday at in Little Rock. You got some other non-conference games that are maybe coming down the pipe. What did you think of Arkansas's initial opponents that were released yesterday?
Well, I liked it. It's, you couched it as a chance to play Texas. I look at it as a chance to beat Texas. I guess that's my take. You knew they were going to send them to Rupp, and that's must-see TV for the whole country. I mean, that's going to be on the mothership, ESPN. That one will definitely be picked up as national. You won't be streaming that on ESPN Plus.
No.
It'll be picked up, and as it should be. I mean, as Cal's putting together his roster, that's one of the games that's out there. You know, you want to be ready. I was also interested to hear him talk about, putting together a schedule. There'll be some national games in there. I mean, at some point, you know, they're going to go to Allen Fieldhouse and Kansas is going to come to Bud Walton Arena. That will happen. Well, I mean, they played Kentucky and Kansas played every year. I mean, Bill Self's not afraid of, you know, going home and home with, you know, with the top teams. If he's doing it with Kentucky, he's going to do it with Arkansas, and that's a shorter trip. That's just going to be fun. We know what's coming with Arkansas basketball, and, you know, the big stage they're going to be and the kind of players that are coming in, and you see it week by week. There's another one. The most interesting thing that I've heard from him is the size of the roster. And that, there's not going to be, you know, like a 13-man roster that has balance to it. It's going to be top-heavy with these NIL guys that are top-end. And I think that's a selling point that, hey, you're in the rotation because you're all we got. It's a little concerning in that, you know, an injury here or there, you could be really reduce. So, you know, whether it's 8 or 9 of those top end players, you want to probably add a couple of more that, you know, that they know what their role is coming in so that you can manage egos a little bit.
He's got seven guys right now. And like you said, eight or nine potentially. We'll see about DJ Wagner. See about some other guys. I saw Cason Pryor committed to Louisville yesterday. So that kind of marks off a popular name with Arkansas. Yeah,
and Pryor may be going in the draft. He may not be that going too. To Louisville. Yep. Yeah. So that might be part of the reason why you don't see Arkansas in the final two. You know, maybe they don't want to risk that. Louisville's ready. Is willing to take that chance, you know, go all the way the distance. And that's a kind of a dicey deal if you're the head coach. It's like, yeah, I'm committing a bunch of NIL money, and then you get to that, you know, 3 weeks from now or 4 weeks, whenever that is. Ty, when is that deadline? Is it a month away?
Oh, yeah, it's coming up because you got the deadline, then you got you got to be exit by, and then you can technically enter back in. Because we kind of saw that play out with Isaiah a couple years ago. But
Several weeks.
You've got the – you always ask about the agent question about, like, if you hire an agent, like, if you accept money from them, does that
– Well, I think that voids your eligibility. Yeah. If you can hire an agent but not accept money. I believe it's still how
they change those rules so often I can't keep up. Yeah. And you know what? I don't really try. So,
So here's
– I lean on you, Ty, for some of that stuff.
Here's the challenge, I think – when you're John Calipari and you're trying to balance this roster out, and he spoke to this that, you know, you don't want to coach. He said, I coach all the players on my team. And he's talking about, you know, freshman players too that are coming in out of high school. The problem is he's recruiting these five stars that they only plan to be there a year. You know, that's been their plan for a while, is to play 1 year of college and move on. And how do you balance all of that when the way to win in college is to get a good mix of transfer portal players? You can't do it with all freshmen. So yeah, that's changed the problem.
He's changed his approach to that. And you see the older players that are coming, especially the Tennessee big man. I mean, it's that to me was the major piece, and that you've got a veteran player. Now, let's be clear who he is. He was first team all SEC by the media, first team all SEC, and he got him to transfer from the SEC champions. Who does that? I mean, it's just, this is what's incredible about this. He's a good kid, highly respected by his teammates. I'm talking about Adu. And how do you pull that off? You know, I've got really good friends that are high up at Tennessee. You know, once, you know, the chairman of the athletic council on their board of regents, and he sits courtside. He's around the coaches. There was no problem. He went into Rick Barnes the day before he went into the portal and said, Coach, everything's fine. He didn't ask for more money. The next thing you know, he's at Arkansas and is the centerpiece of John Calipari's, you know, first roster for the Razorbacks. Yeah. I mean, that's just I can't fathom how all this happens now. It's just a hugely different world. Yeah.
And I think the NIL will probably help, you know, keep some of these younger kids around a little while longer. I think that the day of the one and dones is going to diminish. I'm not saying there won't be any, but I think the number of one and dones out of high school is going to be pretty thin.
Yeah,
moving forward.
Well, I think it's going to what it's going to happen, it changes it in that if you're a lottery pick, well, then you're going, because the NIL cannot match a lottery pick. But if you're a second rounder, you know, you can stay in college for 2 years. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's like you were a lottery pick. I mean, your salary is similar. I mean, you're not going to get that huge signing bonus, but you're still going to be putting money in the bank. I mean, if you don't need $600,000 to live in Fayetteville. I mean, it's so you ought to be able to, you know, do everything you want and still stick back, you know, $500,000. I mean, to me, that
or more.
That's what. Well, you're gonna spread the wealth a little bit to your family and whatever, and you're gonna live, you know, you're gonna live in the legacy building or whatever, you know, and you're gonna do some things that no basketball player's ever done on campus. I mean, they've always been rock stars. You can go back to Ty Day and Lee Mayberry. I mean, those guys, they didn't pay any tabs anywhere on campus. I don't think they did. At least that's what I'm told. But these guys can pay the tabs and probably will.
Yeah. You know, and Hunter Yurecek was with us about an hour ago.
I listened to that. Very
on the
good.
Show. You know, one thing he made there at the end when Ty asked him to play along with our What's Your Beef Wednesday theme is, you know, and he makes a valid point that we just gloss over the scholarship. We gloss over the full cost of attendance. We gloss over the $75,000 a year education and then everything else that's poured into these kids. I mean, it's forget NIL. It's the best it's ever been for a student athlete ever.
And let me tell you, without NIL, he's preaching to the choir.
I get it.
And what he just said, and I agree with him 100%, it does not resonate with the quote student athletes. They're pros. They want to know. They want to get paid. They want to have cash in hand. They what he was talking about is investment in their future. They are for the here and now, and that's not he's hoping that the courts listen to that. That's the only reason he says that, because that's where this is going to be headed. But it's they're not listening. I'm talking about the players. That is not what's important, and that's sad. But we changed. It's over. The you know, as they say, the cat's out of the bag, or the toothpaste is out of the tube, and you can't put it back. I don't think that the courts are going to change this. Congress has not seemed interested. And for the ADs, your question was valid. Get ready. Revenue sharing is coming. That's the only thing the courts are going to listen to. It is painful for men like Hunter Yurecek to consider that. And he would like that message to resonate. And it does with us. But to think that what we are doing now is going to change. No, NIL is here, I think. And unless we get to flat out revenue sharing with a structure. But I just can't believe that the courts are going to say the athlete doesn't own his name. Yeah. I just can't believe that's ever going to change, Tommy and Ty.
But that's not the issue. The issue isn't, you know, I think we're all on board that, hey, you go out and you make some money, you know, being a spokesperson or signing autographs or doing something on a deal you make outside the university, fine. That's not what this is. This is pure pay for play. There is no, you know, real investment of time or energy that's anything more than cursory. We're just paying these guys a sum of money for them to choose our school over another based on how much we'll offer versus someone else.
Yeah, it's pure bidding. But I don't think it's changing, Tommy.
Well, but the reason we create in, and again, this is becoming an old tired argument. The reason
it is an old tired argument.
The reason we bid in NIL is not what how it's turned out. And I was bringing that from the beginning.
Yeah, I tell you who that resonates with: old white people.
Yeah.
Well, here's what I'll say about this, and I had plenty of friends on campus that were student athletes, and the difference in, like you were talking, the accommodations, the food, the tutoring. Oh. I mean, it's and you heard Hunter still feels strongly about this. Now they're preparing,
they should.
Like you're talking about. And I think what people need to understand when it comes to this discussion, I want to say people, I see young people my age, doesn't matter if you're a student athlete or not, is like you're getting all this stuff, right? And now you also want TV revenue. Most of the kids on campus, you got to understand, your sport doesn't make money. Your sport is at a deficit for the University of Arkansas to have on campus, with the exception of football and basketball. Y'all, baseball must last money last year. Think about that. Now, it hadn't been the case in years past. They've made money as a baseball program, but they lost money last year. So even, and I don't know what this team's going to do, if this team makes money, if they go to Omaha, whatever. But right now, this past season, that baseball team that was that good, they lost money last year. Lost
even if they
money.
Make $1 million, it's inconsequential to the overall, you know, athletic
point.
Department.
But again, the point I'm trying to make is these people. There are some guys out there. Like the Quinn Ewers is probably worth the money he's making at Texas. As much as you hate to say that, he's probably worth $2 million or whatever he's getting in Austin. But then there's the four-string offensive tackle that you don't know his name that's making $20K a year. It's not worth that. So you have to understand there's a business side to this. Again, I'm not saying you as the audience, but these kids have to understand that this money that is seemingly, what is it, overflowing is a good word to
endless.
Use? Endless is not. Well, and,
but the question, come back to the real point. What are athletic departments doing to ready themselves? I read a couple of days ago where Missouri in their new AD's contract put a clause that if the fundamental revenue structure changes, they have the right to renegotiate the AD's contract. I wonder if Hunter's thinking about similar clauses. Is, you know, Missouri's not the first and only one to think about this. Play, they're going to be probably more agreements between schools and future coaches, schools and their partners that have the fundamental structuring of how revenue is shared and college athletics changes. They're going to have to be able to get out of status quo and adjust.
Well, it's pretty simple math. The AD's making $1.5 million. You can cut 20 people in the administration office, and it doesn't add up to, you know, reducing that AD's salary by half and paying him $600,000.
Right.
But they will be doing it both ways. And, I'd pull up the website and start looking at names and start looking at all these departments and walk through that building. And I can remember 25 years ago, and there were eight. There were eight. And was it a good athletic department? Hell yeah, it was. And, I mean, Coach Broyles is rolling over in his grave. I promise you that he was the most frugal, cost cut, you know, you can say that paying the athletes has gotten out of hand. I can argue that the administration the spending in athletics has got. So here's the bottom line, and it is the bottom line. If you're bringing in $120 million, your charge in athletics is to spend $120 million. It isn't, let's save $30 million. Nope. It's a nonprofit.
They can't save the.
They cannot.
There's only a small portion by law you
that's
can
why,
retain.
You know, that's why if there's ever, you know, a nice chunk, and I mean, you know, Coach Broyles, you know, he sit down with chancellors is like, and they're like, you're going to make money this year, then you're going to make a $2.5 million gift to athletics, and we're going to build, you know, we're going to build the buildings that we need. We're going to hire another, you know, three more professors. We're going to, you know, we're going to invest in the library. I mean, the spending has. It's not any different than what we're talking about with athletics. So the revenue sharing model, and when he says we're looking at line item cuts, I hope they're not looking at cutting. Now, just so we're clear, Ty, $20,000 for an offensive tackle. If you don't want to pay your offensive tackle, you're going to have a crappy football team because offensive tackles are important. They're important.
Even the fourth string.
I mean, that's how you win games. Yeah. So if you decide you don't think they're worth paying, you will get your butt kicked in the SEC.
Yeah, Ty. What do you got to say about that? Huh?
I'm not going to push back really on your place comments.
I slammed my hand on the table and I knocked me offline.
Did it hurt your hand?
No, but I didn't have to listen to Ty's response, so that was good. Have a response?
No, I'm just taking.
He just said Clay's an idiot. That's all he
said. I'm just taking it in. Just taking it in and listening.
We hope you're learning.
It's
part of your education.
Yeah. That remains to be seen, but we'll see.
You're still in finishing school, just so you know it.
So. Trade school, if you will.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent. Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network, the best podcast in the Natty State. Just search Hit That Line wherever you listen to podcasts.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. If approved, applications are typically funded the next business day or sooner. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.